Clap of praise, would you? Thank you for the singers and musicians. Appreciate their work. You can open up your Bibles, please, if you have them, to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. We'll be taking our text from verses 10 through 13. That's Joshua 14, 10 through 13. While you're turning there, let me give you two commercials. Here we are. First of all, out in the lobby, we have some expositor study Bibles for $40 from the ministry. If you don't have one, consider picking it up. I only brought one other item with me this time, and that was the Breadcrumbs devotional book, something that I wrote 6-7 years ago and gave to the ministry. And it is a daily devotional, about 200 words or so, and they're available for $15. They'll help us take the gospel through the ministry of SBN and JSM all around the world. So you get the devotional and that. If you can't afford that devotional, if you'll go to my Facebook page, Lauren Larson Ministries at Facebook, I post the Breadcrumbs entry there every single day, so you can have it absolutely free and read it and benefit by it. But if you want the book, that is here. Secondly, I'm really excited about a program that we've started based out of JSBC, and that is video online teaching. I'm doing teaching through the Bible College YouTube website and the Bible College Facebook page, and they're a variety of things. We're doing some question and answer videos. We're also doing a basic series where we teach 10, 12 minutes. It won't take up the majority of your day, but again, it's absolutely free. It's just teaching from the Word of God, and I'm excited to get started with that. So you can go to the JSBC Facebook page or JSBC YouTube and find it. Again, I share it on Lauren Larson Ministries at Facebook, so you have another means of being informed, another means of being taught. And again, this is the best thing. It's absolutely free. So here's that commercial. Share, like, follow, subscribe. Leave your comments right below, you know. But we're trying to get the gospel into the hearts and minds of people, and the best way to do that is put it out there. So if you're interested, take a look at that. Have you found Joshua 14? Let's read verses 10 through 13. And now, this is Caleb speaking. Behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. It's been 45 years since Caleb started his journey with the Lord. It started in Egypt, and he had to journey 38 years with some people that were rebellious and moved away from the things of God. A year and a half, basically, at Sinai in the desert. So it's been 45 years. Oh yeah, let's not forget, when he finally did get in the land, there was 5 years of war to take it. And now the waiting is done. Now the journey is almost at its close relative to why they left Egypt 45 years before. And there's a distribution of the land to the people that have made the journey. That's our setting. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. That's 85 years old. As yet, verse 11, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. How many knows our strength is in the Lord and not in ourselves? So Caleb's strength has not diminished. He said, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardst in that day how the Anakims were there. Those are giants. And guess what? They're still there. But Caleb has said, this is my inheritance. Give me this mountain. I'm not worried about the giants. In that day, how the Anakims were there and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me. Now that's what really makes all the difference in the world, isn't it? If the Lord is with us, this is what Caleb believed, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. And I want to minister to you for a few minutes this morning. Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Every single believer in this room, every single person that accepts Christ as their Lord and Savior has been granted an inheritance that is yours and yours alone. It doesn't belong to anyone else. And if you will wholly follow the Lord, W-H-O-L-L-Y, completely, if you'll follow the Lord, if you will follow him and do as he suggests, as he leads, as he guides, then there's going to come a day and a time where you too will look at a mountain and say, give me this mountain, because you'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt that is what God has given to you as your inheritance. And everyone, listen, everyone under the sound of my voice that is a believer, God has marked out an inheritance for you. We're not all the same. We don't all get the same land. We don't have the same responsibilities, but every single one of us has an inheritance designed for us, specifically for us by the Lord. And we're looking for that inheritance. We want to talk about how to achieve that to where we can come to the point like Caleb did and say, Lord, give me this mountain. I want it burning in your heart when you leave here this morning. You have an inheritance. It's slated to be yours and no one else's. But in your heart, you need to have this truth burning. Lord, give me this mountain. It's mine. You said it was mine, and now I'm ready to take it. Give me this mountain. And Father, we pray this morning that you would in fact help us to proclaim your word. Lord, I'm asking that you would guide us now as to what is said, to encourage your people, Lord, that they might have their hands strengthened and their knees strengthened to walk on the path of your choosing for them. And Father, I give you the praise. I give you the glory. I thank you for salvation, and I thank you for an inheritance that belongs exclusively to each believer. Father, today we ask that the true preacher and teacher come, the person of the Holy Spirit who makes teaching and preaching easy and helps understand the word, helps us understand what's said, and we'll give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. It had been 45 years since the group that left Egypt, 45 years. God never intended for 45 years to pass before the inheritances that he had meted out in his heart and in his mind were distributed, and the people took up their place in the promised land. The promised land was designed for God's people. It's not heaven. It's an area on the planet, on this earth, that was granted to each individual in Israel. God had that for each one. But the sad truth of it was, the Bible tells us that in the Exodus, there were some 600,000 men, 600,000 men or so that walked out of the nation of Egypt. And it was actually a count of 603,550 men. And out of 603,550 men, only two made it to their inheritance. Only two. Think of that. God had chosen it for them. But because of their rebellion, because of their unbelief, because when God finally brought them to the edge of the land, they looked at it and said, no, we can't go in there. There's giants in there. See, what we have to understand is what Caleb knew, that if God is with us, our enemies are bred for us. So I don't care what it looks like in your present situation. If God has meted out an inheritance to you, and he has, in those days, the inheritance was meted out by what was known as the Urim and the Thummim, stones kept in the breastplate of the high priest. And we don't know exactly how that it worked, but much like the throwing of these stones were throwing of dice, the dice or the stones, how they landed, indicated what that God wanted. And so that was the way God instructed his people through the Urim and Thummim, kept next to the heart of the high priest. Today, there we don't need the Urim and the Thummim because it's the Holy Spirit who lives in us and is moving among us that marks out in our inheritance for us. And at times, as a believer, that inheritance isn't quite clear. We can't quite see the borders of it. But yet, in every one of you, there's something beating in your breast, the design, a purpose, a function that God has given to you. For some, it would be raising a family. For others, it might be a ministry. But whatever it is an inheritance that God has granted to you, and he wants you to take care of it. He wants you to handle it. He wants you to be a blessing to that inheritance. But you're going to have to be like the two that made it and not like the 603,000 that whose bones bleached out in the wilderness. You got to be able to say, Lord, my enemies are bread for me. Because that's what a person of faith says. We're going to take the lamb that God has given us. It's not going to be our strength. It's going to be the strength of God. All we have to do is be willing to go into the arena that God said is mine and then take it because it is ours to take. Somebody shout amen with me this morning. You didn't get into the body of Christ just to be an observer. You're not called to just come and sit on a pew and let everybody else do the work. God has a place for you. God has a function for you. God has a purpose for you. And it's far greater than just coming to the service. Thank God you've got a good church here. Thank God that you can come in and participate with what God has allotted for you and been a part of it. But don't just be an observer. There's an inheritance that belongs to you. And God is expecting you, not Pastor Lincoln and the associates, not the worship team, you to get up and get your inheritance. Somebody shout amen with me. But it's interesting that God takes this man by the name of Caleb. Now, we know all about Joshua. Joshua was Moses' hand servant. He waited on Moses hand and foot, and he came from a good line. But Caleb, if we study him out a little bit, he's an interesting picture because Caleb is a Kenizzite. He actually comes from the line of Reuben, and the line of Reuben was not really one of those well-applauded lines. Reuben went into his father's concubine and by that literally lost some of his inheritance. Not only was he from the tribe of Reuben, but he was also from Edomite origin. Esau was his forefather. So you got Reuben and Esau as a background. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what you didn't have when you started. When you join in with Jesus, when you connect your life to the Lord, when you become one with him, it's no longer, oh, I can't because of where I came from. If Caleb would have thought he couldn't because of his background, he couldn't because I came from this group of people or that group of people, he would have never believed God for what he is believing God for in this text. Give me this mountain, Caleb. Came from a man who was an Edomite, came from a man from Reuben's life, the least likely to succeed. Voted in high school, you'll never make it. Guess what? When God says, I've got an inheritance for you, it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what your past looks like. It doesn't matter if you've been grown up in a palace or in a trailer yard. It doesn't matter because God is now the king of your life and he's the God of the earth and everything and anything belongs to him. And when he says, this is yours, I want you to know this is yours. And Caleb comes from this background, but the Bible says in Numbers 13 and 2 that he literally rose from being what he was to a ruler. He was one of the leaders of this ragtag bunch of Israelites traveling through the desert. And when they got after a year and a half to the edge of the promised land, he was one of the 12 that went in to look over the land. Now, some look over land with doubt in their eyes. Some look over the land and see the impossibilities. Caleb and Joshua went into the land to look it over, not ever even considering that God was showing them that they couldn't have it. He was showing them what you could have. You've got to look through the eyes of faith at what God has presented you. It doesn't matter how many giants are there. Look at the good land. Look at that promised land. Look at a land flowing with milk and honey. Recognize you can't make make it on your own. You can't bring it into your own possession, but if God is with you, I'm preaching better than you, amen. If God is with you, then there's absolutely nothing that can stop. That's what Caleb believed. And the Bible said that Caleb followed the Lord wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly and completely. I'm here to tell you that promotion into your inheritance, it doesn't come from man. Stop looking for men to give you your inheritance. Stop looking for man to give you a promotion. The Bible says this, promotion comes neither from the east or from the west or from the south, but God is the judge. He puts down one and he sets up another. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he will exalt you in due season. He's not going to bring you to a place where you're above Christ or other people. He's going to bring you to your place. He's going to bring you to the place that he's designed for you. He's going to lift you up and strengthen you because what God has for you, what he's designed for you is wonderful. As I said, you might have come from a line that everybody else disassociates with, but once you're joined with Christ, once you become one with God, once you become a member of God's kingdom, the Bible says just like everybody else, you are immersed into the person of Christ. You are a part of the body of Christ, and that's your identity. That's what you belong to, and because you're in him, then inheritance is guaranteed, and the inheritance will be distributed out by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't look to man for your inheritance. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and say, that's what God has for me. Oh Lord, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. 45 years. Oh, we don't want to wait 45 years. We want it yesterday. Lord, we want it just handed on a silver platter. But let me tell you about how God works. He prepares us for the inheritance that he has granted and has in mind. And it was 45 years of desert living, oh my, that prepared Caleb for the advancing on his inheritance. Where did he get this faith? Give me this mountain. Where did that come from? Well, as he walked through the desert, only desert living can produce faith like this. You know, when Jesus was filled with the Spirit, the first place the Lord took him was to a desert to see if he would trust, to see if his heart would depend, to see if he would fully rely, if he would wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly follow the Lord. Are you wholly following the Lord? Right now, I'm shouting about your inheritance, and you're in a desert. It doesn't feel like an inheritance. But there's a reason for the desert. There's a purpose in God for taking you through the long way to your inheritance. There's a reason it just doesn't come simply. My dad was always a believer that if we worked for something, we appreciated it a whole lot more. So he never just gave us something, even though he could have. He said, Lauren, I remember when I was a kid, not even in high school, all of my buddies, we lived in Montana and the mountains were there, and the best way to get in the mountains was a motorcycle. And I thought, man, Dad, would you buy me a motorcycle? I'm not talking about a big Harley. I'm talking about a Honda 90 or a Honda 100, something that'll go up the mountain trail, something a 12-year-old could get on. And he looked at me and he said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll do this. You sand and paint the house this summer and I'll buy you a motorcycle. So at 12 years old, there I am learning how to sand and paint and sand and paint and sand and sand and sand and sand. Talk about sand and desert, I experienced it. But when it was all said and done and my dad looked at the job that I had done and appreciated the efforts of his 12-year-old son, even though he had to come behind me and fix some stuff, he took me down to the Honda dealer and picked me up a Honda 100 and it became mine. See, sometimes when you work for things, today's society, we have people and young people that just won't give me. But there's a purpose, there's a character that's built in the natural when we labor for something, and there's a character that's built in us when spiritually we have to fight to believe God, and we learn how to believe God. It prepares us to properly handle the inheritance that we get when we walk into it. So how did Caleb come to this opportunity of give me this mountain? Well, he watched the destruction of Egypt. He watched the 10 plagues. Some refer to them as signs. He had to walk through the Red Sea experience. We talk about it. Caleb did it. He was one of those that walked across on dry ground. He saw battles with Amalek, what was a type of the flesh. You're going to have a few rough goes with the flesh. I'll preach over here. You're going to have a few rough goes with the flesh, but if you learn how to trust in Christ and what he's done for you, flesh is not going to be a problem. He saw water that flowed out of a rock, rock that followed them in the wilderness. See, you're going to have to believe, if you're going to take your inheritance, you're going to have to believe that once you get there, God's provision isn't going to stop. How do you know it's not going to stop? Because you've seen it. You've been there. You've done that. You've got the t-shirt and a few scars to prove it. God's not beating you up. He's building you up. He's doing something in you. He's making warriors out of you and keeping you straight on the pathway of your inheritance, but he doesn't bring it right away because he wants you to have the equipment to dwell and operate when you get there in that inheritance that he has designed. There was a pillar that he saw by day and a pillar of fire by night that he became acquainted with. You're going to have to become acquainted with the presence of God in the desert. You're going to have to look for him. You're going to have to look for him in the night. You're going to have to look for him in the day. And when the cloud moves, you move because you know what God is and you know what God has done. If you want your inheritance, you're going to have to learn some things in a desert to be able to walk into the truths of your inheritance. You're going to have to pick up manna every morning. Why? Because you're going to have to learn that it's the provision of God, not the provision of your own hand, that's going to sustain you in your inheritance. So Caleb is learning these things. He's walking in things. How are you doing in those? Are you looking for the presence of God every day? Are you following him as he leads? Are you picking up the provision, the manna that he's given, spiritual food, physical food? Are you trusting in who he is? Do you know about the tabernacle? Do you know how to worship? Do you understand the sacrifice? Because Caleb had to understand what the sacrifice was for and offer up sacrifice when he failed and honor God on the Day of Atonement, all the feast days. He had to learn. He heard the giving of the law. He was present at Sinai. He heard the voice of God. Do you know you can hear the voice of God today? He doesn't just speak to preachers. The Holy Spirit lives inside of every single one of you, and he wants to lead you, guide you, talk to you, teach you the things of heaven. Do you know what God is trying to teach you as you walk in the wilderness? Are you learning the lessons? Are you gaining confidence in who Jesus is and what Jesus can do in your life, so that when you finally take a view of the inheritance that God has given you, you won't look at it with doubt, and you won't look at it with fear, and you won't look at it at trepidation. You'll take a look at what God says is yours, and you'll say, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. But 45 years of training ain't fun. Somebody shout amen. 45 years of training. You know, it was that desert experience that helped him as well to not become what most people became in the wilderness, and that was a murmurer and a complainer. Well, I'd have done this
for God, but he didn't. You know, I don't know why he didn't, and he didn't then, and he didn't do that, and he wouldn't. See, we Take a good look at what he's done. Stop moaning and groaning about what you don't see. And take a look back over your life and tell me what he's done. I got to tell you, I guarantee you that he found you on the road of despair and lostness. And he came into your life and changed your life. And he altered your thinking. And he set you free from sin after sin after sin. And he set your foot on a solid rock. He took you out of the pit that was destroying you. And he gave you a life that's worth living. Somebody shout amen with me. If you'll look back at what he's done, you'll not complain about what you face. And if you learn how to rely on him in the middle of that desert, in the middle, you won't be the murmurer. You won't be the complainer. 603,548 men were complainers. Two were praisers. Two were those that gave thanks. Two were those that believed. Which are you? Are you going to be a moaning and a groaning in your wilderness when your things happen that you don't understand, when delays come, when you thought that inheritance was going to be walked on in just a year and a half, and instead it's 45 years and you're still not quite there? Have you started to murmur? Have you started to complain? The nation of Israel, what God said in Numbers, he said, these have tempted me these 10 times. And Dake's Bible goes through 10 specific areas where the children of Israel specifically murmured and groaned and complained. But 10 times is a Hebrew idiom. It just really means that was their lifestyle. That's how they lived. That was their reaction. That was normal for them. They got into a situation and are you a moaner? Are you a groaner? You won't get into your inheritance that way. You got to look at the circumstances through the eyes of faith. I'm not talking about blind stupidity. I'm talking about faith in a God that is able to love you and keep you and strengthen you and sustain you. There's nothing too hard for God. Give me this mountain. But we learn faith, we learn reliance, we learn dependence in the wilderness. There was another lesson Caleb had to learn in the wilderness, and that was to respect leadership. There was a group that shoved forward while they were in the desert, and it was led by a man named Korah. And Korah had taken a good look at Aaron and Moses, and even though he and 250 other leaders had their place, they had a specific function, a special function in the things of God. They weren't satisfied with what position God had given them. They wanted Aaron's position. They wanted to be Moses. Listen, I understand that if you're not the lead dog in the pack, the view never changes. I get it. I understand. I comprehend that looking at the backside of the one in front of you is not the most desirous place unless that's where God put you. And Caleb said, you know what? I think I'll just keep on following Moses. His record is pretty good. I think I'll just hang on to Aaron as the high priest. I know he's a human and we can find some fault in Aaron. We know there was that golden calf thing, but God put him where he put him. God positioned those men where he positioned them. So I'm not going to fight leadership that God has established. I'm going to find my place, because what God has for me and my inheritance isn't what he's got for Aaron, and he isn't what he's got for Moses. I don't want somebody else's ministry. I don't want someone else's life. I don't want someone else's inheritance. Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. And we know the story. Korah, wanting that position, stood up and God opened up the earth and took them all to hell in a moment's time. Phew. Caleb said, "Woo! I picked the right way to go." It's not easy when you're in the wilderness. It's not easy learning the lessons. It's not easy going through the process of learning provision and dependence and reliance upon who Jesus is. But I tell you this morning, with everything within me, I believe that God has a specific, special inheritance marked out just for you. It doesn't belong to anyone else. It belongs to you. And it's time. It's time for you to get that in your heart and get that in the spirit. Some of you here this morning are just on the precipice of stepping into that inheritance. And you're ready to say, Lord, give me this mountain. Others of you in the desert, you're learning the lessons that are going to bring you through to your inheritance. But by faith, even if you haven't seen it yet, you can say, Jesus, give me this mountain. Give me what is mine. This belongs to me. And if you'll walk with me, if you'll be with me, Lord, there's nothing that cannot be accomplished. Give me this mountain. Show me what to do. Then show me how to get it done and be with me when I do it. Show me what to do. Show me how to get it done and be with me when I arrive there so that we can get the job done. Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. It's yours. Travel through the wilderness. Keep your eyes on Christ. Trust in Him exclusively, and He will guide you to that place designed just for you. And to steal a phrase, you're going to like the way you look. I guarantee it. If you'll just trust, and in your heart let faith build. Give me this mountain. Stand with me this morning. Heavenly Father, we come this morning and I speak to the discouraged. I speak to the despondent. I speak to the confused. This message was for them. There's no member of the body of Christ that does not have this inheritance that you've chosen, that I've spoken of this morning. Not a one. All are special. Every one of them is unique. Lord, you love them with an undying love. And you, the Father of lights, give gifts. And the blessing of the Lord makes us rich and adds no sorrow with it. It means it makes us full. What you've designed for our lives is perfect. I pray today that everyone under the sound of my voice in the wilderness will receive the lessons and receive the grace needed. We'll walk out of here this morning with a heart of hope. We'll understand better that even though they can't see it, it's on the way. It's in the making. In the mind of God, it already exists. And for those that have been through the wilderness, those that are on the precipice of that wonderful inheritance, give them faith. Faith that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit to say, there it is, Lord. Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. I see it. I see the giants. I see the problems. But give me this mountain you've designated for me, and I choose to take it. My enemies are bread for me today. If the Lord will be with me, my strength will never be abated, even when I'm 85 years old, because my strength is not from me. It comes from God Himself. Give me this mountain, oh God. Give it to me in Jesus' name. Give us these mountains, Lord, and let your body be full. Let your body be blessed. Let your body be what you've designed it to be in the earth today. And we give you praise, and we give you glory, and we give you honor. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, would you just lift your hands and begin to worship? Are you ready? Are you ready? Even if you can't see it, are you ready? Are you ready to take what God has given? What God has designed? It's there. It's yours. Give me this mountain. Tell Him this morning, Lord, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. You saying it isn't what makes it happen. It's an expression of your faith in Christ. Expression of your faith in God. Give me this mountain, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name.
We ask it in Jesus' name. Don't let me falter. Don't let me stumble. Don't let me doubt. Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Hallelujah. Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Praise God. I'm so thankful that we serve a God that says what is for us is for us. Jeremiah 29:11 says that he's not to harm us. He's given us something that we can prosper from. And so I just want to thank you so much for being out today. We want to thank our visitors for joining us online and thank our visitors that are in the house. If you haven't had a chance to give, remember that you can give in the baskets in the back. You can also give online as well. Also, there's some product in the lobby, so be sure to stop by there and check out some of the product that he's brought with us. So I just want to thank you so much for being with us, and you are dismissed.